What is all this stuff about repentance? This is Advent, huh? There's an historical precedent, which, if you read the bulletin article in there that I wrote, it's basically this, that there were two traditions that came together in Rome in the 12th century. The Roman tradition was to remember the birth of Christ. It was focused on his humanity. That was the Roman tradition. It probably affected Francis of Assisi in the 13th century. The one that comes from Gaul, from Lyon, from that area of France and Spain, was focused on repentance. The end of the world. Get ready. It's what we ended the last couple weeks of the church year with. You do not know the time or the hour. The Lord comes like a thief in the night, so be prepared. That sort of thing. In fact, some of us of a certain age will remember the Dies Irae. Dies Irae, Dies Illa, so on, so on. Which was written for Advent in Gaul. That was the focus. They wore purple. They didn't sing the Alleluia, and they didn't do the Gloria. In Rome, they did both. And when they came together in the 12th century, they kind of melded. Rome kept the Alleluia, dropped the Gloria, and all that stuff like that. But the two things about repentance and about remembering the birth of Christ came together. I don't know what the because is, but it's that part about the end of the world, which is the end of the world in which you and I believe we're sovereign. That's the only end of the world that matters, it seems to me. And part of coming to that involves repentance. And that's why we get John the Baptist today. But I want to approach that in a way like this. What Father Dennis Hamm, Creighton University scholar in New Testament, especially Luke's Gospel and Acts of the Apostles. First of all, he refers to John the Baptist as Jack the Dipper. Yeah, that's Dennis. But he, in his study, he says what he thinks his baptism was about was a kind of spring training. Let's get back to basics. And it said that the whole Judean countryside and all of Jerusalem came out to be baptized by him, confessing their sins. Okay, what's the deal with that? What's the baptism? There was a ritual of something like baptism for converts to Judaism. And because the primal event for the people was passage through the Red Sea, then it has to do with water. And so what he called people to do was to experience those who had been born Jewish, were part of the faith already, called them to experience what they had Gentiles do to come into Judaism by going through this water rite, so that these people would know and understand the mystery of the people of Israel, which has to do with slavery to freedom and through the Red Sea. So he asked them to consider that they were no better than converts. And for us, what that might look like would be to say, okay, Y'all go through the RCIA process, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, to recommit and then go through something similar to our baptism as a way of rededication, a way of recommitting to Christ. Yeah, it's like that, isn't it? It's okay. Really. But that's the deal. He was asking them, and so this is just a kind of a thought problem. What if we all re-entered the RCIA and went through for 8 months preparation for something like baptism that would be a rededication, confessing our sins and repenting? What a concept, huh? What's the big deal with that? Passage through the Red Sea involves, the picture is the ritual of initiation, which is first separation from the old as the people left Egypt and their service to Pharaoh. Service is a word that translates avodah in Hebrew, and it means both worship and hard work. So they entered the Red Sea and passed through. At this point in the middle of the Red Sea, they were neither the old nor the new. It's like being literally a neophyte of being, who am I? Because they hadn't fully left the old and gained the new. Their passage had to be completed to enter what the newness of life would look like for them. So, for us, in Advent, it seems to me that the importance of this notion of repentance is this. The question is, what do we need to leave? And I'm going to put it this way. So the opening reading, it's great to go back and read that from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 and on. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says the Lord. Your time of service, of hard work and idolatry is at an end. So, what do we have to leave in order to hear comfort, give comfort to my people, says the Lord? Let me suggest two things. How do you and I self-comfort? How do we comfort ourselves? Food, TV binging, Netflix, sex, anger, binge watching cable news. In other words, avoidance of, we self-comfort to avoid our emptiness. We self-comfort to avoid our woundedness. Going through, figuratively, Red Sea or baptism, which is a sign of the Red Sea, is a step into uncertainty. Because in leaving my identity as someone who self-comforts, and I'm in the middle, the liminal space, literally. I'm at the threshold of neither practicing self-comfort nor being able to receive it yet. It's the place of vulnerability. Let me suggest this is where Bethlehem is. It's in the middle world. It's neither there nor here. And coming to Bethlehem without our self-comforting deeds, but with our emptiness and loneliness, we could more effectively and truly meet Christ the Lord in his poverty, in his rejection. There was no place in the inn, in the night. And as we continue our passage through the Red Sea, through baptism, to a new place that we don't even know what it looks like when we're way over there, to the new place, which is some new freedom to be able to, number one, meet Christ and be met by Christ in our emptiness and loneliness and whatever else we comfort ourselves from. Number two, hear the words, "Comfort, give comfort to my people," says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and tell her her time of service, her idolatry, is at an end. And it's the experience of life with a little less idolatry. And what if that's what Advent is about? And what if that's repentance is about? So happy Advent. I'll just end with this. We're caught between two worlds. The world of shopping, in which we're told it's Christmas season. And the world of Advent, where the churches that are liturgical churches tell us it's Advent. And we're in the middle of both. Wouldn't it be a wonderfully perverse thing to say to people, "Happy Advent," when they say, "Merry Christmas"? To say, "It's really Advent. And we're about passage through the Red Sea." What a concept, huh? So, happy Advent.